Attention, men. Are you wanting to break free from porn or other unwanted sexual behaviors, but finding it seemingly impossible to quit? If so, we can help. My name is Jonathan Daugherty, the founder of Gateway to Freedom. This 3-day workshop is for any man who wants to overcome any kind of unwanted sexual behavior. So whether you're married, single, or divorced, this powerful and proven intensive weekend will help you uncover what is at the root of your struggle and discover the man God always created you to be. Space is limited, so call us today at 210-822-8201 to register. That's 210-822-8201, or visit bebroken.org/GTF. Good day, friends. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the PSR Podcast. You know, we're a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. In this episode, my friend Dr. Stephen Cervantes and I are going to explore the lifelong mission of personal growth, blending both the spiritual and emotional development. We discuss how a vibrant relationship with God actually brings peace, rest, and joy, and why emotional health is just as vital as spiritual growth. Together, we're going to unpack the impact of childhood wounds, the roles that we play to cope, and the importance of self-care. Our conversation is honest and encouraging, and we're going to invite you to embrace growth as a lifelong journey marked by grace, healing, and authentic connection with God and others. For daily insights from Stephen, visit drmarriage.org. For additional resources, you can check out our website at bebroken.org or look at the links that we're going to put in today's show notes to take your next best step. And of course, friends, I want to invite you to rate and review the podcast after listening because it really does help other people find it who are searching for this kind of content. Now let's dive into today's conversation about being on mission. And by the way, when we recorded this episode, we were still working out some minor audio troubles in our new studio. So please forgive these tech difficulties. Thanks. All right. Well, I am here today with Dr. Stephen Cervantes. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm good. Glad to be here. Excited about life and a new day and what God has for us.
Absolutely. And, you know, if there's ever a topic that is going to get Dr. Marriage and Dr. Cervantes really fired up, it's talking about mission, right?
Mission.
Like, what is your mission? You know, I've known you for over 25 years now. And what's amazing to me is like, and I, you know, Stephen doesn't always like it when, you know, I brag on him or whatever. But I can tell you this, having known him for that many years, you're a guy who practices what you preach.
Oh.
So you're not just one who's like a talking head that says, you know what, I'm going to tell other guys about a growth mission and not be on a curious journey myself and say I want to keep learning. In fact, I would actually say, Stephen, that I think, personally, I think over the last 10 years, your growth has excelled, like it's exponentially gone up because, and I think some of it had to do with when you, this is probably even more years ago than that, when you started realizing that God is an infinite source of ideas and that you didn't need to be one that was like trying to protect the ideas that came to you or whatever.
I had a few ideas. I said, I've got these ideas. I got to protect them. And it's like, okay, I launched them and then more came in. I launched them, more came in.
And that's why I think like on drmarriage.org, the fact that you have this daily thought that comes out now is just an evidence of that idea of like, God's never going to quit giving you thoughts and ideas on this.
And there's some days I go, what am I going to say today? And I wake up and boom, there's an idea and I go.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I think that's the nature of how God loves to work in our lives is he likes to just prove himself that he's infinite, that he's wise, that he's a creator, that, you know, all those aspects of his character, he's not done. You know, it's not like he's finished.
So sometimes we just start wherever we start and then we get to the topic. I'm sitting around this table, okay? And it's a bunch of atheists, okay? And the first, and we're talking about, we're actually in Portugal sitting around a table, we're drinking wine. I'm sitting there and the lady says, you don't go to church, do you? Now, I'm on her right. She starts on her left. Oh, no, I don't go to church. No, no. And she asked, do you go to church? No, 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 I don't go to church. No, I don't have time for that. No, no. She goes to the next person. Do you go to church? No, no, no. I thought, what are we, 16? Is this like a peer pressure group here? You know? And I'm thinking, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? What am I going to say? Because, you know, you can say some little simple things. And I'm thinking, I don't want to say little simple things. And when it comes to my turn, somebody asks a different question and the topic changes. So they don't ask me, do you go to church? But that has messed with me because what do I want to say? I got to get ready because that's going to be asked. And I've been playing with this idea. It's like, yeah, God is like my best friend. And he and I walk together every day and we have a great time. Why wouldn't I go to his house? I mean, I want to say something more than, yes, I believe in God and I go to church. Oh, you're one of those people that's stupid and they tell you what to think and you have to believe that. It's like, oh, no, I have something in here that is so good. I know none of you have it. And you won't even get it when I tell you what I'm about to tell you. You won't get it because you don't have it. But how do we say in words something that is so real, so transformational, so helping me soothe, you know? Yeah. From
and that's just it. I love the framing that you did of that because it's relationship. It's not about the construct that people have assumed in terms of religion. Yeah. I mean, you think about even when Jesus came on the scene, everyone that was part of any religion, even the Jewish religion, was like, who are you?
That's true.
Like, we don't understand you at all because you're not fitting into any of our boxes.
Right.
And that's, I think, the beauty and what we want to share with people is like, hey, this is not some crusty, dusty, you know, stagnant religion. This is a vibrant relationship with the living God who, and I love the way that you put it. It's like, why wouldn't I want to go to his house? I want to knock on his door. Can Jesus come out and play today? Like,
so yeah. Heck yeah, that's what I have, and I know you don't have it, and now you can tell me all about this and that and how bad things are. It's like, man, you know, my words are peace, rest, joy, right? I want peace, rest, and joy in my life.
And the great thing about that relationship is the more we're in that relationship, the more God creates a desire in us to take other people to his house.
Yes.
Hey, come and meet my friend. You know,
yes.
And so that's the beautiful thing. So even when people don't know, it doesn't mean we don't share with them and say, you're not going to get it because you don't know. It's like, hey, you know what? God may be turning the lights on in your life and he's using me to bring you to his house and meet my friend.
I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about how much loneliness there is now. And the social media it was on the news. They were talking about how people are reporting having fewer and fewer parties.
Really?
There's almost like a 70% drop in parties since COVID.
Wow. So there's just nobody's gathering anymore, huh?
And that's contributing to loneliness.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right? And that and media, right? It sort of started with COVID and then the media, and you do everything by texting, and so you don't have to leave your home, so you stay. And then I listened to another podcast where the church has a restaurant in the church. And they're building soccer fields. And they say, come here. Come to our place. We want to be the heart and the soul of the community. Mm. You know? And it's like, because people are longing and they're hungry for a place to go that's safe.
Yeah.
You know, offer some freedom and insight and growth. Because this isolation thing is getting worse.
Well, speaking of freedom, insight, and growth.
Oh, we had a topic. I knew there was a topic.
We're going to try to answer the question, are you on a mission? Are you on a mission?
So I've always known there's a spiritual mission, right? You go to church. God made the world, right? Adam and Eve, the Israelites. They believed, then they didn't believe, then they believed, then it was bad, and then they came back home, and then they were driven out, and then they came back. And then Jesus shows up, and he says, whoa, there's another kingdom, there's another world besides this one. And he teaches a bunch of stuff. So that to me is a spiritual mission. Baba, Jesus, Holy Spirit, our Bible, go to church, fellowship, help one another. That's a spiritual mission. But I see all these emotionally messed up people. And then I'm watching pastors. They love Jesus. They preach their Bible. And then they fall and do something stupid. You know, either an immoral act. They're drinking alcohol. They're turning into drunks. They're stealing money from the church. They're so human. And I think, well, what happened? And then I conclude the emotional program took them out. Because every one of them still loves Jesus and their Bible, and they still want to go to church. Every pastor that went through seminary still found some good, you know what I mean? They know the truth. They almost never go, well, I was leading a church one day and preaching sermons, and then the next day I quit. No. You know, it's so in their soul. So I know the spiritual program can hold you because they still love the church and they want to come to their friends or church. They still want to belong to the community. Even if they mess up, they want to be restored. Mm-hmm. That's the spiritual program. But what took them out? The emotional program. Their fears, their doubts, their greed, their jealousy, their loneliness. What something emotionally. So then I ask myself, well, maybe there's an emotional growth mission and a spiritual growth mission that should work together in a human being. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Absolutely. And that's just the thing I think that is really important about this is recognizing that these are not they're not two completely separate things. Now, I think there's some distinctions. We were, even in the last podcast that we did, we were talking about God and the fact that it's Father, Son, and Spirit.
Yeah.
And there's one God. And so the idea is there's distinctions between Father, Son, and Spirit, and yet they are not disconnected. So you can have distinctions and them still be one. So I believe when we're talking about emotional system and spiritual system, there's distinctions, but I believe they are one. In other words, you can't point to some place in your body somewhere and say, oh, well, here's the dividing line between my emotions and my spirit. All interlinked.
Yes.
But I think what we're going to try to do in this is to be able to say, but you can be trying to, like you said, run this spiritual mission and spiritual growth and yet be missing what is necessary for you to understand in your emotional growth. And that's why so many times you can be trying to really, really focus on the spiritual mission and then you fall apart.
Right.
And it's like, why didn't the spiritual mission alone actually produce the outcome that I wanted?
Pastors burn out. That's the other thing. Yeah. I got burned out. Why'd you get burned out? This was God and love and good. What the heck? That's the emotional program.
Right.
Right. That broke down because he wasn't doing self-care and whatever, you know. So, but you make a beautiful distinction, and that is they're not separate. They're so woven together because what is love? Spiritual or emotional?
Yes.
What is hate? What is joy? What is fear?
Yeah.
You know, what is sorrow? Mm-hmm. They're both.
Yeah.
But we artificially pull them apart to check on them, and then the reality is they run together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why I think, you know, I love the fact, like when you're sharing a lot of your growth map and model and everything, You place the emotional under the spiritual. That in many ways it's like, yeah, you can be running this spiritual system, but in a lot of ways that can be attempted from a very like heady space.
Right.
Behavioral space.
Yes.
But if we don't get to that bedrock of how do you understand and regulate your emotional system, then kind of the whole thing could crumble because you don't have a strong emotional system, and you're not on an emotional mission.
That's right. And so how do you have a pastor that has a sexual addiction?
Yeah.
It's because the emotional program is not working and this sexuality is being supersized to fix everything. It doesn't fix everything.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And that's why I think this language of growth mission is important. And you and I have been talking about this and from a lot of different angles for many, many years.
Right.
Because when we're dealing with a man who's gotten into some kind of addictive pattern and it's just messing up his whole life, when we talk about him being on a growth mission, what we're saying is there's not a destination that you're aiming for. Right. Like, hey, when I reach this point or this mile marker, I'm done. No, growth is the mission.
Yes.
And that's really the important thing, I think, to highlight.
That's good.
And sometimes isn't that hard, especially for men, isn't that hard to like wrap our minds around? Because we want there to be, what's the goal? Like, what's the singular point?
Tell me what to do. Just tell me what to do. I'll do the one thing you tell me.
We want there to be a finish line. Right. Like, when do I know that I've finished?
Yeah. So, get the certificate. I did it.
Right. So let's start, can we talk about that for just a minute? Just kind of wrestling with the reality that what we are asking and inviting men especially into is a mission that doesn't have an end point.
Okay.
And just the challenge of that. And, and how do we kind of start to embrace something that.
Yeah. But you know my words, right? How do I know if my emotional system is working? Am I peaceful? Right? I mean, with other people, right? Can I be at peace? Do I understand peace in a chaotic world that's full of insight? Can I rest inside? Can I be restful in my soul so I'm not fighting myself, shame and blaming? And can I have joy? Mm-hmm. Can I be joyful? Can I just enjoy the creation, enjoy the moment, enjoy the fellowship? Those are the three things. When you say, what's the end? It's to get in the flow of those three things.
And those can be, I think what happens is those can be like a barometer, you know, because a barometer is trying to regulate and help you understand what's going on in the environment, right?
Okay.
So there's a sense in which that can be your measuring points. So when you realize, hey, you know what? Oh my goodness, there's been a depletion in peace. I got a lot of conflict going on in my relationships and I'm letting that sort of hijack peace. Then you can go, okay, well, what do I need to do? It's part of the growth mission. I guess what I'm saying is it's sometimes hard for us to wrap our minds around quote unquote aiming for a moving target.
Okay.
Meaning like you don't say I've reached perfection of peace, perfection of rest, perfection of joy. Like there's always, in other words, it's always, there's a fluidity to it. It's kind of.
Wait, let me ask you a question. What's the goal of the spiritual mission then?
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Well, no, give me the best version of, you have any words? Well,
I mean,
I know yours, grace.
Grace, but the way I would put that into a mission statement is, what does it look like to walk with Jesus?
Walking with Jesus.
Which again, so that's movement, right? So the fact of the matter is I can't daily wake walking. Up on any day and say, you know what, there's really nothing more for Jesus to teach me or for where he wants to take me. It's like, no, there's always the next step.
So today I'm going to walk with Jesus and I'm going to practice grace. Is there another part? Because I'm looking for two or three things that you think. That is how I know I'm on my spiritual mission.
Well, absolutely. The other one is always what it looks like to share, to serve others, right?
And so service, right? Yeah. Walk with Jesus, live by grace, mm-hmm. and share that with other people.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's good because it's also not a fixed point.
That's just it.
You get up
and that's why, again, the emotional and spiritual, they totally tie together. You're not ever going to. So to kind of circle back to this idea of, are you on a mission? The growth mission is something where you're going to be in movement.
Yes.
And maybe that's another really key marker is if like you're stuck.
It's true.
Or you're stagnant.
True.
You're not growing, right?
Yep. So you want me to go over emotional questions or spiritual?
Let's
first?
Do the emotional. I think emotional is really important because that's what we're focusing on.
So number one, are you positive or are you negative? Are you hopeful or are you kind of a downer? You know, do you have eyes that are looking with curiosity and wonder? Or is it just a crappy place to live?
Yeah. You know? Well, here's the thing. I think some of these we need to be able to answer also through the grid of personality. Like, my personality tends to be more skeptical. Like, I'm a questioner. Now, that in itself is not wrong.
But that could be neutral, right?
But here's the thing. The way I can sometimes lean with that is then more towards the negative. Like, hey, gotcha. It's fine to question things. It's fine to be curious and ask questions. But is my mindset towards why I'm asking the question, is it because I'm more positive and like, oh, there's a lot of hope in the world and there's a lot of good? Or is it more like, man, this is just, you know, there's a lot of crap.
But see, I love that you know that about yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's the whole point, is run the whole system however God uniquely made you with your gifts and talents and bents, so that they all end in a good way, right? Because if you're skeptical and ask questions because you're looking for a flaw, right, that's going to limit your joy.
Yeah. And that's the key there, right? Is that the idea of asking these questions to see if you're on a growth mission is, am I going to say, you know what, I'm perfectly fine with kind of that negative attitude? Or am I going to say, wait a second, you're right. That steals joy from me and peace. And so I need to stay on a growth mission.
So are you happy and content? Or are you thrashing and restless? Mm-hmm. And you only have what you have, right? You have the house, you have the car, you have the body you have the hair you have. Are you going to be happy with what you have? Are you going to be thrashing and restless and discontent? And I've been threatening to buy a toupee. And no, I hope that brings a laugh. But I have wondered, should I go hire some hair somehow? Or am I going to be content?
Yeah. No, it would mess up your Dr. Marriage brand. And the word that I really highlight there is that word content. Mm-hmm. Because there is a sense in which we live in a society, those of us who live in kind of the Western world, that is just hyper discontent. Yeah. Like, in other words, especially when you live in what they call a consumer society, which is what we are, capitalistic consumer society, that breeds discontent. Because you've got to always be consuming to try to get the next thing to be content. True. And so there is a sense, especially when you're talking about peace and joy, I think, especially, man, contentment is so huge in that.
Yes.
And that's why, going back to my big message on grace, is like, is grace enough? Like, you can be content with grace. Like,
but I hear a lot of people quitting social media because they're saying, oh, they went there and traveled and she bought this and she got that and here I am. And what's the matter with me? Why am I not? It's like, man, it breeds discontentment. So it's like, I want to be restful. So, and then the question is, what triggers your anger? What hurts your soul that you have to defend yourself and get mad and be heard and be strong and come out and punch back? I'm so angry.
Yeah. And that's, a couple of years ago, I think we did a podcast on that whole idea of unoffendable. And just the idea of like, oh man, that's a real marker. If I feel the need to be defensive and the need to just, now there is a place for anger, right? I mean, there's a place for absolutely. Righteous anger,
absolutely.
But that's not what we're talking about here. Like, what triggers that defensive anger? That idea of like, you know, I've got to defend my reputation or defend my, like, you're disrespecting me, or, you know, the idea that I've got to now be angry towards someone in a defensive way.
And first and fast and quick.
Yeah, like, that's going to indicate I need more growth.
Right. What about your emotional wounds that you pick up in childhood? And have you taken ownership of them? And do you realize that our spiritual tools, forgiveness and mercy and healing and God wanting to touch our hearts, that those things can be healed so they don't drive us? There are people that were made to feel like victims, carry themselves like victims. And it's like, are you going to be a victim your whole life? Or can we get past some of that? You know?
And some of the learning from that, too, is as you explore some of your emotional wounds from childhood, you can ask yourself also, what continuing effect are they having on my life today? Like, where is their unhealed wounds? Because it might be like, man, I'm still operating from that wounded place, rather than going through whatever's necessary to heal so that I can have peace, rest, and joy, right?
Amen. Amen. So some people find playing a role as the most important thing in their life, to be a pleaser, a fixer, to control, to worry. You know, there are people that roam around being lost, going, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do. You know, and you can see them. They fumble around. They're afraid to take direction and go somewhere. So, you know people play roles. Perfectionists, controllers, people that just have to do it a certain way and be a certain way, and they're like fixed around their role, which means they're not free. They're playing a role.
And that's, I think, the biggest thing to look in this is because, you know, pleasing others is a fine quality. Wanting to solve problems is a good quality. Wanting to be a leader is a good quality. Wanting to care for others. You know, we call that pleaser, fixer, controller, warrior. There's aspects of this that are fine qualities. I think the key thing to look at here in terms of, are you using a role to cope with life, or are you using a role to hide flaws in your character or flaws in your life? That's the key thing to say, okay, then I'm living a divided life rather than a whole life of integrity, you know?
And I can't find happiness.
And you're not on a growth mission if you're using that role as a way to kind of just hide yourself from the world.
Yeah. So do you use alcohol, drugs, food, or other people, fantasy, sexuality, to escape and get some comfort and get away from yourself? It's like, man, I got to have a drink. I've got to, I don't know, I can't wind down. I can't. It's like, why don't you just enjoy the evening? No, I have to. But if you have to do something, you're stuck there.
Right? Yeah, that's a good, I like the language you use there. What are your have-tos? Like, and if those have-tos are not healthy, or not moving towards this, you know, emotional growth, then you probably need to check them.
Do you like yourself?
Talk about this is because we're talking about emotional questions, right? So let's talk about that for a minute.
It's
that
so
idea
funny because I say this to the guys at the Gateway Weekend. I say, I don't think you like yourself. They go, well, I like myself. So every time you're alone in a room, you got to go to fantasy. You got to escape. Well, why don't you like yourself? Why don't you take good care of yourself? Why don't you go for a walk or call a friend you haven't talked to from high school, play guitar, take a hot shower? Why don't you take care of yourself? Why you got to run away every time you're quiet? It's like, I don't want to be with me. Shame, doubt, fear, torment, restlessness, discontent. Oh, man, it just floods. I don't think you like being with yourself. You don't take care of yourself very well.
Yeah, and that's the key, right? Is guys can say, I like me, and then you know, you can just point to the evidence. Well, how are you treating yourself? Again, like when you're alone.
Yeah.
Why are you here at a Gateway workshop? Like if there weren't parts that you go, I don't like this about me.
Yeah.
I don't like, you know, it's like
you're part of me's out of control and I admit it.
You're doing things that are harmful to you and to others. So and the other thing too about this that I think is important from an emotional level and connecting with the spiritual is this still gets a lot of Christians nervous because they're like, oh my goodness, all that focus on the self.
You're supposed to die to yourself.
Yeah, and all it seems like, are you talking about just being self-centered
and pride?
And the thing I always love to go to is I'm like, do you know what Jesus said was the commandment that all the law and the prophets hinges on? Love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
Like, so what does that mean? That means I actually have to first take care of me in order to properly take care of others.
Yeah.
So the Bible is actually, Jesus himself is actually teaching Stephen, man, you got to take care of yourself. Because I got a mission for you to love all those neighbors around you. Right. And if you're dying in shame, if you're beating yourself up, if you're doing all these destructive habits to yourself, you're no good to your neighbor. No. And you can't just pretend and play a role and say, I'm a pleaser. I'm going to go please my neighbor. It's like you're not loving them because you're unwilling to take care of yourself.
And
you know?
And there's a verse in Ephesians that I'm going to botch it. But if you love your wife, you're taking care of yourself.
Yeah. He who loves his wife loves himself. Yeah.
Isn't that a beautiful verse? Because like, okay, I'm going to walk in love. And it's going to come back. God's plan is even going to come back to nurture you. It's not I think we got it wrong. It's like deny yourself, call yourself bad. Don't even think about yourself. Don't live with yourself. There was a sense, just be a spiritual being. It's like, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to be just this. He gave me a body and emotions, and I sort of think he wants me to do something with this too. Not if he wanted me to be just a spiritual being, wouldn't he just make me a spirit?
Yeah, and the thing is, even the fact that, listen, there are scriptures that say deny yourself, die to yourself. But what does that actually mean? Because it doesn't mean, you know, self-flagellation.
Well, what do you think it means?
You mentioned it early in a previous podcast when you were saying that Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan." Now, what was he saying? Was he saying Peter right now is the incarnation of Satan himself?
No.
No, he was saying, you know what? There's something going on in your thinking that is satanic, and that's what I need to get behind me.
Right.
So in the same way, when Jesus is saying, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me.
Yeah.
What is he saying? He said, there's a part of you that has to be crucified.
Yeah.
There is a part of you that does not have the things of God in mind, that does not have.
Yes.
And he's saying, that's what you need to deny.
The things that are not of God.
And but he's not saying you and your body and your mind and your soul and your emotions is somehow God is inherently awful and terrible. Like you as a person made in the image of God.
Right.
Is horrible. No, he's like, but there's parts in you that do not have the things of God in mind. And that you've got to get rid of that.
And so when a minister says you got to die to yourself, I immediately change it because that doesn't make sense. I mean, it's not clear enough. And sometimes when people preach, it's not really clear. What, how do you do that? What are you talking about? Die to yourself. I immediately say, die to your selfishness.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? Die to pride and jealousy and envy. Die to the things that are about feeding the self, things that are not of God. Die to those
another
things.
Another way to think about that is die to that self-idolatry. That part of me that says, I really want to make it all about me. I want to worship me. I want everybody else to worship me. It's like, well, that, get behind me, Satan, right? That's the part of you that is not what we're about. And that's why on this growth mission, I think that's a good one to put into this emotional growth questions. Because, you know, we can go to that spiritual place, right? We just did. We brought up some verses and everything. But what does that most directly connect to in our experience? Isn't it our emotional selves or what we think about ourselves and how we are taking care of ourselves?
Say, I missed the first part. Say it again.
Well, you can kind of go to the spiritual place, right? We said, hey, we've got these Bible verses that talk about the self and everything.
Right.
But where do we experience that in our lives? Is it not through our emotional system?
Right.
Like if you were going to say, another way to put it is not our relationship with ourselves emotional?
Yes. And spiritual, yes.
But like I think where we feel it the most in terms of how we feel about ourselves, it's so
the
emotional
system, yes.
Right? So
yes.
This question, do you like yourself?
Yeah.
Man, how many shame lies have we been carrying in our lives that say, no, not really?
Right. And so, what I would say to that is, he made me, he loves me, he pursues me. And if he likes me, I think I'm going
to
like me.
And that's why we need to do this emotional growth work. Because it's going to take work to work through all of those lies of shame and all of those so that we can say, you know what? I now have the perspective that my Heavenly Father has of me, that he says, you're a beloved son.
Yeah.
You're a child that I died for.
I remember, this was a long time ago, a guy named Landon Saunders was talking at our church, and he told the story. He said, you mean I'm supposed to, an 80-year-old woman walked up to him. You're telling me I'm supposed to like myself? I've heard all my life I'm supposed to hate myself. Mm. And it was like, think about hating yourself for your whole life.
Wow.
What that must be like.
Yeah.
You know?
So I want to close with this prayer that you'd put in the notes there, because I think this is a good one as we just think about how we want to keep stay on a growth mission, both emotionally and spiritually. And it just says, Father, help me work on both emotional and spiritual growth. I want my emotions to work in harmony and submission to you. Please bless me with wisdom. Amen.
Amen.
So we want to help you take your next best step in your emotional and spiritual growth mission. So please reach out to us, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program.
God bless.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.